We will be back with hour number two of Garden Talk following the news. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
$25,000 to the already $5,000 we had, so that puts the reward up to $30,000.
Patrolman Brian Shaw had been a member of the New Kensington Police Force for less than a year. Shaw was the second police officer killed this week in the line of duty in Baltimore. Detective Sean Suda was shot on Wednesday while investigating a homicide. Just in time for Thanksgiving travel, a storm system that stretches almost across the country.
This is a big travel weekend, obviously, as Thanksgiving now approaches, so some of you will be scraping off the snow, but a lot more of you, I think, today especially and tomorrow, will be dealing with high winds as that West Coast storm begins to crank up. All these advisories over 15 states, we're going to have strong thunderstorms develop across the mid-Mississippi and Ohio River valleys as this storm really begins to wind up. The winds will be cranking today, tonight, and through tomorrow morning. Certainly will slow down some air travel and will make it difficult to travel on the roadway.
ABC News senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. Republican Roy Moore slipping in the polls ahead of next month's special Senate election in Alabama. ABC's Stephanie Ramos talked to voters in that state.
Some of them were torn. Some of them said, you know, we still stand by Roy Moore's beliefs, his religious beliefs, his values, his morals. We're going to vote for him. And a lot of people said, we just need to see more proof. Now, there were others, mainly women that I spoke with, who said they were voting for Doug Jones and that they just wanted to vote for the best person that could represent the state of Alabama.
A number of women accused Moore of sexual misconduct when the women were teenagers. You're listening to ABC News.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women, and now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-396-4557. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. John Laura.
As a dermatologist, I feel confident recommending Viviscal. It's backed by 25 years of research and multiple clinical studies that demonstrated Viviscal's effectiveness in promoting the growth of thicker, fuller hair.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-396-4557. 800-396-4557. That's 800-396-4557.
Protests on the streets of Zimbabwe calling for longtime leader Robert Mugabe to step down.
A historic day here in the capital city. Possibly well over 100,000 people have come out onto the streets to demonstrate and send a message to Robert Mugabe and his wife Grace Mugabe that their time ruling this country, making this place their own personal fiefdom, is over. It's the end. Their time is up and they must leave office. No more negotiations. It really is the end of the road.
Alex Rossi with our partners at Sky News. A founding member of a legendary rock band has died.
His brother Angus got most of the attention with his lead guitar pyrotechnics and trademark schoolboy stage outfit, but Malcolm Young was at the heart of AC/DC, co-founding the band with Angus in 1973 and co-writing nearly every song the band recorded. Rock classics like Back in Black, Hell's Bells, Shoot to Thrill, You Shook Me All Night Long, and more. Young said he and the band never considered easing up.
We just want to give it 100%, get better and better at what we do. Still playing fast tracks and loving it.
Dementia forced Young's retirement from AC/DC 3.5 years ago. Christopher Watson, ABC News.
You may think you're seeing double or more in New York City today. Hundreds of spiky white-haired guys are in the Big Apple for FieriCon, a pub crawl in honor of Food Network star Guy Fieri. This is ABC News.
Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets and safety products?
Check.
Great! So it sounds like we're ready to go.
No. When I said check, I meant we still need to check on all those things.
Just call Cintas. They can handle all of it. It's what they do.
Okay. Call Cintas. Check. I mean, got it.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Drive for the weekend before the rain returns. Today, blue skies at 63, 59 on the coast. A few clouds tonight, low 36, 40 on the shores. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, high 61, 57 in Bodega Bay. Overcast and rain for Monday at 61, 59 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour are brought to you by the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market.
I like plants.
Gladiolus,
better than people plants.
And magnolias,
they never do evil plants.
And begonias,
all they ever want is to grow. Plants,
iris,
are smarter than us.
Violets,
they make a living without any fuss.
Us,
water, sun, and air,
and
are all they need to grow. I think plants
are so terrific.
Plants,
ooh,
are generous souls.
Ooh.
They feed all the...
It's Garden Talk, hour number two. I'm Steve Garner. Welcome back. It's KSRO News Talk Radio for Northern California. Myself and Gwen Kilcher anchoring the show as always. Gwen co-writes the popular Plant Doctor column in the Press Democrat, going on 30 years with the lovely Dana. That column appears the first and third Saturdays of every single month in our local Press Democrat newspaper. Also, Gwen, master gardener, and has consulted on many gardens over the many years she's been in the world of plants, starting when she was 9 years old, when she started her gardening journal. Is that correct? Do I remember that correctly?
I think it was like more like 12.
You were 12 when you started your gardening journal.
Yeah.
And this hour, we're joined by the lovely Frederic Lavoie-Pierre. Frederic owned a wonderful nursery in Sebastopol for many years. Maybe some of you remember the Shoestring Nursery. I still have your catalogs, that, you know.
Do you?
I still have
them.
He does.
I saw them.
Yeah.
I'm
a pack rat when it, well, people know that about me. And you relocated to Santa Barbara, and you are the director of education for the Santa Barbara Botanic Garden. Am I correct in that?
Yes, you are.
And you're back in town visiting family and friends, and of course, no one has gone untouched with the devastation of the fires. I know you have friends who've lost everything too and are back in town to offer support. You also have a background in studying the effects of fire. I know in our emails you had told me that the Wednesday after the fires began, the topic for the California Naturalist class was fire, and you couldn't bear to go it. You skipped the fire in the garden walk. And that was 7 years ago and burned 70% of the Botanic Garden. Is that
right? It did.
So you have firsthand experience with the after effects of the garden. And thank you for leading me to Max Moritz.
Yes.
I went to his YouTube, the one you referred me to.
Right.
He's a well-known fire research scientist who lives in Santa Barbara. And he was really articulate and mesmerizing. I encourage people to look for Max Moritz, www.democracynow.org. Very thorough, and he's been quoted a lot about the after effects of the fire. So we wanted to talk about some of your philosophy about rebuilding, replanting, because you're back here in Sonoma County, and of course a lot of friends are calling on you and asking you questions.
Yeah.
What should I keep? What should I dig up? What should I dispose of? And each plant is different, and everyone's landscape is different, too, when you go out and friends. What are you finding people's reactions to be? Are they in the save mode, or are they, I just want to start fresh, dig everything up and start again?
I think everybody is different and reacts differently. I have one friend whose front and backyards were untouched, who is quite the food gardener, and they lost a few trees, and they are very interested in saving their landscape. And then, as you say, there's a scrape it clean. But first, let's dig up these crocuses, and let's dig up the memorial rose and grandma's grapevine. I think that there's something about going to your lot And, you know, now it's been, what, a month?
Mm-hmm.
And seeing these little sprigs of green, people's bulbs are coming up. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of people who want to keep a little piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's lovely. And but I am seeing a big difference in how people are reacting to the, you know, urban conflagration versus the wild lands mm-hmm. that burned. And a lot of interesting questions are coming up.
Well, you had mentioned that the lists of the, quote, fire-safe plants mm-hmm. are often contradictory. It seems like every week another newspaper comes up with a fire-safe list of plants versus fire-safe, fire-resistant, mm-hmm. a lot of terminology thrown around.
Right.
And you mentioned that natives are often listed when they shouldn't be
right.
and may be on both fire-prone and fire-safe lists
right.
simultaneously. And what you mentioned was a term that I'm really not familiar with. That is what matters is live fuel moisture.
Yes. So I had never heard of live fuel moisture until I moved to Santa Barbara. And I think that a lot, you know, this kind of fire that happened here is something that in Southern California happens quite a bit. You get the Santa Ana winds. In Santa Barbara, we get what they call sundowners coming down off the Santa Ynez. And those winds can be ferocious, in excess of 50 miles an hour. And that the fire danger depends on a combination of humidity, temperature, wind, but most importantly, live fuel moisture. I've learned a lot from we had a forest ecologist and then Max, who used to be in Berkeley. I've learned a lot from them about this, and that if you can hold a blowtorch to a lot of these chaparral plants that are thought of as very flammable, but if they have sufficient moisture in the foliage, they won't burn. Mm-hmm. You can't get them to light on mm-hmm. fire. So when you plant those kinds of natives in your garden, we tend, even when we talk about drought tolerant, we're watering our gardens.
Yeah.
The live fuel moisture in those plants is higher than it is in the wild. That may be where some of the confusion is coming about whether you should plant or not.
Well, it can be overwhelming. Kate Fry did a very good article about fire-resistant plants, but there was a list of about 60 or 70 uh-huh. in different categories, and I think it's premature for people to even think when they're thinking about rebuilding their homes about right. what plants to put in at this
right.
point.
So I agree completely. I think that we need to do a lot more research and thinking about how we're going to replant. A lot of people found out that the thing that really has low live fuel moisture is wooden fences. Right. So I've learned a lot about how fire is spread. You know, most houses that burn are burning because of embers. They're not burning because when the fire moves through, it usually only takes about 10 minutes for a fire to actually move across your property. So homes are catching on fire for reasons other than the vegetation. Oftentimes, it's those windblown embers, you know, the fences that are close to the houses. I think there's been misconceptions about defensible space that you can't do that in a suburb. You're doing a different thing. You're hardening your home.
What does that mean?
To fire. Well, things like making sure that your chimney has screening, a quarter inch, 1/8 inch is better. All the vents are screened. Sometimes, I just learned yesterday, the problem is our garage doors that aren't quite sealed along the edge, and the fire will come in through that avenue. So
that's called hardening.
Hardening your home. And there's quite a bit of information. I think Cal Fire has some good information about hardening your home. And there is, of course, appropriate vegetation to plant at some point. But that's different than the hardening of your home. And Max brought up something in his lecture that was, he said, you know, in Australia, they're doing a lot more of building houses where they're sheltering in place. Then you go through a training program. And we can build homes that are resistant. Look at Pepperwood, right? Fire burned right around that building,
yeah.
And I heard it didn't even get warm. inside.
Because of the way it was built?
Because of the way it was built. Oh. And Max had some amazing photos of these houses that are fairly heavily vegetated lots. And the house is in flames, and the trees are fine. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all seen mm-hmm. some photos mm-hmm. like that now. And he said, actually, what we're starting to learn is that sometimes those trees may be acting to filter out embers even. Oh. And, of course, then you don't want the flammable ones.
Yeah.
Right. But, yeah, I've learned interesting things. And these photos with the green vegetation and the house aflame are pretty instructive.
You wrote when we were emailing, natural fire intervals are not what we used to think. For an example, chaparral versus redwoods. Would you expand on that?
Yeah, so that's another one of my lectures. We have a lot of lectures about fire in Santa Barbara. So this man came to talk about how California burns, basically. And we used to think, first of all, chaparral needs to burn. It doesn't. Santa Barbara happens to have more chaparral than any other county in California. But we have lots here, too. The Chaparral Institute is a wonderful website to look up. They've got a little list of myths about chaparral and the facts about chaparral. And actually, they bring up this idea of the, you know, live fuel moisture. But also, our misconceptions that chaparral needs to burn. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. And the fire intervals, I think that it goes like 30 to 200 years is the natural interval. Redwoods actually burn more frequently. Oh. It burns the understory. And I actually wrote down a number because numbers are not my forte. Planting is my forte. Here we go. Redwoods in really wet areas could be up to 500 years, but what is more typical is 5 to 25 years. Mm-hmm. And at Point Reyes, this 7.7 years. That's the fire interval in the redwood groves. So it's normal there.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another point you brought up was nature will restore itself. Resist the urge to scatter seed. And that seemed counterintuitive from what most people want to do.
Yes, I know. I think we need to separate our human urge to go out there and fix it and realize that, first of all, the fire was quite a mosaic, right? In some places, it was just an understory fire. And in others, it was a canopy top fire and looks really destroyed. But we have a big seed bank out there in the soil, and it's ready to sprout. And after fires, you can actually get phenomenal wildflower shows mm-hmm. of flowers that we haven't seen in decades. Mm-hmm. And there's always the danger that you're buying a seed mix. We don't know the genetic provenance. You don't even know if those species need to be there. And the fact is that nature will revegetate itself.
I think people are concerned about erosion control. And
that's a different – erosion control is a different issue. You know, after the 1964 fire, people flew in airplanes and threw Harding grass seed out the windows to stabilize the soil. So Harding grass is one of our worst invasive grasses right now. And it burns. So, you know, that's not useful. Now, where they're going out and, you know, preventing erosion and preventing ash from getting into the streams, mm-hmm. that's important to do. But the rains are coming now. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go scatter seed. It's going to sprout and be about an inch high. That's not going to prevent erosion. So let nature take its course. And there will be lots of planting to do as we rebuild.
Arborists have been cautioning people about randomly going out and just digging up, excavating all trees mm-hmm. randomly. That's not a good way to move forward because trees prevent erosion.
Right.
That what's underneath the ground is as important, if not more important, than what's above the ground.
That's right.
And that also the trees that will resprout will offer habitat during the winter.
Right. So there's actually more mass underground than there is above ground when you have a tree. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I agree. I think sometimes, too, you know, we see these black and charred stumps, and our urge is to cut clean up, right? We want to clean up and fix things. And a lot of those trees will resprout. We're here at a time of year where trees are dropping their leaves anyway.
Yeah.
I might want to wait if I had a magnificent tree and see how it does. So in the garden, when this fire burnt through, a lot of the oak trees, if you're being observant, you can see where the bark was charred. The oak trees are very fire resistant, it turns out. I did not know this. And what happens is that they actually will steam in a fire. They hold so much moisture, they steam. So all the leaves turned brown, and after the fire, all the leaves fell off all the way. We have a canyon with a creek in it. Every single leaf fell off of every tree, and the staff was devastated. But those oak trees came back. Mm-hmm. The leaves came back. I understand I wasn't there. One of the first reasons for joy was that we have some beautiful California palms, our native Washingtonia, and you know the whole skirt burned off of them all the way to the top. They were just these big black stumps, and a little sprout of green came out of the top, and it was reason for rejoicing.
Sometimes hope is the hardest thing to hold on to.
You know what we lost?
The urge to just go in and start doing.
And start doing things. What we lost was the conifer collection.
Oh.
The conifers. Conifers will burn.
Yeah.
So those were irreplaceable.
Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, well, we've started to replant some. And, you know, we had a few Torrey pines that survived.
And how many years ago was this?
It was in 2009.
Uh-huh. So we're looking at
eight years
or so. We'll take a break. Frederique LaPierre is with us. She is the Director of Education for the Santa Barbara Botanic Garden and for many years lived in Sebastopol, very well known to gardeners and her wonderful nursery that was up and running and really an important part of Sonoma County horticulture for many, many years. And she's visiting Sonoma County, and it's wonderful to have her sit in with us. If you'd like to chat gardening this morning, we have open lines at 636-1350. No one on hold at this moment. Of course, if it is fire-related, that is fine. If you're thinking about landscaping, that's fine, too. If you have other gardening questions about what to plant for your winter garden or when it's time to prune your ginkgo tree, any and all gardening questions are entertained at this moment. No waiting if you call us now. 636-1350 will get you on the air with Gwen and Frederique to talk gardening this morning. Or if you prefer to email me, we can do that too. Steve@ksro.com. Chef John Ash in at 11 o'clock for our annual tradition, our 30th annual pre-Thanksgiving extravaganza.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station. FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You know, there's nothing like sinking into a luxurious hot spring spa, especially if it's in your very own backyard. Hot spring spas are the number one brand in the world, so you know there'll be a hot tub to fit your home and lifestyle perfectly. Vacation in a hot tub every day with your own hot spring spa from the Hot Tub Store. Five locations in Santa Rosa, Vacaville, West Sacramento, Rockland, and Folsom. And online at hottubstore.com. The Hot Tub Store. Every day made better.
At Progressive, we think your floral boutique is the bee's knees. In fact, it's all the bee's knees and every hive of bees and all the trees from here to Belize. Please. Everyone agrees. You deserve the expertise of Progressive Business Insurance, with over 40 years of experience helping busy bees and their knees glide with ease like a gentle breeze. So whether you're a worker bee, a queen, or none of these, buzz over to progressivecommercial.com, if you please. Faster than a bee's knees as he pollinates the leaves of three trees. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates.
It's time to rebuild Northern California, and People Ready is here to help. Whether you need workers or need a job, you can count on People Ready. Call People Ready today at 707-541-1819 and start working as soon as tomorrow. People Ready offers a wide range of work opportunities, from general labor to the skilled trades. Visit online at peopleready.com or call 707-541-1819. Again, that's 707-541-1819.
This fall, don't miss Volkswagen Presents Warren Miller's Line of Descent. Ride along on a cinematic journey as we travel near and far, descending some of the world's deepest lines in Jackson Hole, Silverton, the French Alps, California, British Columbia, and beyond. Tickets are on sale now. Go to warrenmiller.com.
Check out Warren Miller's Line of Descent, Saturday, December 2nd. Showtimes at 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. at 3rd Street Cinemas. Brought to you by Santa Rosa Ski and Sports.
It is Garden Talk Live on this Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher and special guest Frederique Lavoie-Pierre. She's the Director of Education for the Santa Barbara Botanic Garden, has a lot of experience with the replanting efforts in Santa Barbara after they had their devastating fire a number of years ago, and of course lived in Sebastopol for many, many years, owned the good old Shoestring Nursery out there off Highway 116, and was a major force in horticulture for many, many years before taking this new assignment. Margo from Sebastopol, California, thanks for joining us, and what can we do to help you this morning? Hi.
Hi. My question is, luckily we were not affected by the fire directly, but we're on a small piece of property on a one-lane country lane, and I'm calling about defensible space. It's like we hadn't cleared our property for a while. So the way our property is laid out, the trees are close in, and we have a lot of bay trees around us. We're near a winter creek that has bay trees right next to us, and we're trying to get an idea of how to make a better defensible space than we've had before.
So, the usual recommendation for defensible space is to clear your property to 100 feet from your house, which I know is difficult to do. And certainly in the urban areas where we had fires would be impossible. Bay trees are fairly flammable, and that's why you see them out in the woods. Sometimes you'll see that a stump is burnt and they will resprout from the stump and get even more dense. It's probably a good time to call in an arborist and say, how can we deal with these bay trees? So defensible space refers to that 100-foot perimeter. There are things that you can do, though, to ensure your home's survival beyond that. And there is a really nice publication that UC has put out called Home Survival in Wildfire-Prone Areas. It is building and design considerations. So things to think about with your home. One of the things that has come to my attention is that 2 out of 3 homes are burning because of embers that are getting into the gutter and lighting leaves on fire, getting into soffits, vents, through garage doors. So 2 out of every 3 houses is burning down because the house itself hasn't been adequately protected, too. So it's another thing to think about. In terms
of that publication, would that publication mention about those kinds of things as well?
Yes, and it also has more resources associated with it, and it's a free download. This is always nice.
Would you repeat it?
It is called the Home Survival in Wildfire-Prone Areas, It's design and building considerations, or it might be building and design considerations. But anyway, it does address how to protect your home and some of those issues about the vegetation within, you know, 20 to 30 feet of your house, too, how to deal with some of that.
That sounds real important. Yeah, we don't have a lot of space between our house and those bay trees that are along this dry creek bed. So it seems like that's something that I think we more immediately need to address. But thank you for
I would look at your understory, too. You may be able to prune those trees up a bit so they're not providing a fuel ladder.
Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call, Margo. Good speaking with you. 636-1350. Margo's line is clear. You can get on with questions for both Frederick and Gwen. 636-1350 if you would like to chat a bit. You mentioned soil is very insulating. What is that concept? We don't think about soil as insulating. I don't.
About insulating? You know, it's interesting. We have a new conservation center at the garden, and the way that we moderate the temperature on that building is we have earth tubes that circle the building just a couple feet underground and keep the soil temperatures about 65 degrees. And soil has a lot of mass to it. So when a fire passes over, and a fire really only takes a few minutes generally to pass over the ground, it's really not heating the soil up very deeply, and that's why now we're going through these neighborhoods and seeing things like crocuses, and you showed me some succulents, daffodils. Things are sprouting and coming back. I've seen carpets of California poppies in people's gardens that are popping up. And
you mentioned, Frederica, the email we just received a minute ago from someone who was in the Fountain Grove area and took this beautiful photograph of all these succulents that are popping up from the ashes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plants are really, a lot of them are very resilient. Some plants even need fire to actually sprout. One thing I learned from the Chaparral Institute was that a fire can actually be far more damaging when the soil is saturated with water, because then it steams. And that is a technique that's actually used to clean potting soil, for instance, of weed seeds, is steaming. And so the soil will get hotter if it's wet, which seems counterintuitive.
And what is the Live Fire Moisture Project?
Oh, okay. So we love
live fuel
moisture. We love citizen science at the Botanic Garden. We have a number of different projects. Live fuel moisture is a measure of how much actual moisture is in a plant and determines if it will burn. So even chaparral plants won't burn if they are plumped up with water. And most native plants in our gardens get a little bit of water. So when you're driving by the fire station and you see those signs that say extreme fire danger or low fire danger, that is based on live fuel moisture. And there are people who go out and actually measure this live fuel moisture. They take samples of the plants and they weigh them, and then they dry them in a special oven, and then they weigh them again, and they can figure out how much moisture is in there. And when you see those red flag warnings, it's a combination of live fuel moisture and humidity and wind. And the actual temperature, air temp, is not the most important factor in that fire danger equation. So nobody was measuring live fuel moisture in the front country of Santa Barbara. Sort of surprising. And they were just starting a project when I got there. And Max Moritz actually is one of the people who has worked on that. And so now we have a team of people. They go out. We have a couple of different sites, and we're sampling chamise and big pod ceanothus. And there's a chart on our website. You can actually look this up and see the live fuel moisture going up and down. And
It's amazing, because I kind of thought as a layman, oh, well, it's hot and it's dry out. Oh, that's why they slapped this red flag up.
Right.
It's a lot more involved than that.
It is. And it's kind of reassuring that, you know, there is more to it than temperature.
We'll take a break at that point. Be right back with Frederic Lavapierre. And Frederic is the education director at the Santa Barbara Botanic Garden. And she's done a lot of research and a lot of experience in replanting after fires. If you want to address your questions to her, of course, Gwen, too, lived in the Larkfield area and fortunately came out unscathed pretty much on your property, which is really a blessing. Call us, 636-1350, live garden talk, as always, every Saturday from 9 to 11. Also, any general gardening questions, we'll entertain those, too. We have a couple of emails to get to, but no one on hold at this moment. So when we come back from this news break, please give us a call. We'd love to help you this morning as we move through this after the fire replanting thought process. 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO.com.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Thank you, Sonoma County, for supporting the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market during this difficult time. Our hearts go out to all those affected. We all need a little comfort now, and for our Thanksgiving feast, enjoy selections of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, including beef, chicken, and pork. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
There's a name that's synonymous with worry-free windows, and that name is Milgard. For over 40 years, Milgard has been building windows that have enhanced the look and value of homes just like yours, using only quality materials to create award-winning vinyl replacement windows. And they back all their windows up by a lifetime guarantee. Plus, unlike other big window companies, all of their windows are made locally and serviced locally. With all of these advantages, it's no wonder Milgard has been named the nation's best quality vinyl window by Builder Magazine an unprecedented 6 times. Improve the look of your home with Milgard replacement windows. Call DJ Sash and Glass today. Add a touch of class to your glass with DJ Sash and Glass, 2985 Wilgen Court. Call 546-7344, online at djsglass.com. That's 546-7344. DJ Sash and Glass.
At K-Tech Automotive and Pauline's Automotive, Kate and her team know something. When your car's in the shop, your life's on hold. So their job is to get you going again. From quick, reliable service, repairs, and maintenance, to a loaner car if you need it. And a cup of coffee and a smile when you come in doesn't hurt either. Don't let your car put your life on hold. Visit Kate and the team at K-Tech Automotive and Pauline's Automotive in Sebastopol. And get going again.
What are you doing to relax tonight? Watching some TV? Helping the kids with their homework? A little work around the house, maybe? You know, there's a better way to unwind. Why not take a vacation every day right at home in a luxurious Sundance Spa from Spa Land in Cotati? Immerse yourself into a space where worries will drift away. Meet the owners at Spa Land in Cotati and say goodbye to your aches, pains, and stress. Bring one home for your next everyday vacation. Visit them in Cotati across from Lowe's since 1983. SpaLand.com.
Information leading to the arrest of a suspect in the fatal shooting of a police officer in Pennsylvania.
I'm asking anybody with any information, as minute as they think it might be, please give us a call.
James Klein, chief of the New Kensington Police Department, the officer Brian Shaw was killed during a traffic stop last night. Shaw was the second officer killed this week in the line of duty. Baltimore Detective Sean Souter was shot on Wednesday while investigating a homicide. The latest polls for Alabama's upcoming special Senate election show support for Roy Moore is slipping. The Republican was accused of sexual misconduct by a number of women when they were teenagers. Forecasters watching a big storm system that could cause problems for Thanksgiving travelers. How big? It stretches almost across the country. Guitarist Malcolm Young, one of the founders of AC/DC, is dead at the age of 64. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Dry for the weekend before the rain returns. Today, blue skies at 63, 59 on the coast. A few clouds tonight, low 36, 40 on the shores. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, high 61, 57 in Bodega Bay. Overcast and rain for Monday at 61, 59 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
We are back from our half-hour break, 636-1350. If you want to talk gardening this morning, we would love to hear from you on the pre-Thanksgiving edition of Garden Talk. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. And special guest today in the KSRO greenhouse is Frederica Lapierre. And Frederica is the former owner, proud owner of the Shoestring Nursery in Sebastopol, and became the director of education at the Santa Barbara Botanic Garden a few years back, and is back visiting family and friends for the weekend and decided to stop in. Well, I invited her also. Mm-hmm. We said, please, can you come by? And you said, yeah, I can squeeze in a few minutes for you. Dear Steve and Gwen, we want to do a major cutback pruning on these bushes in front yard in Healdsburg, about 10 inches off the tops and 8 inches on the sides. They just have gotten too big. I know they'll be ugly and woody, but will they grow back? And what would be the best time for me to prune these bushes? So here is the photo of those bushes. There you are.
Looks like euonymus.
Yeah,
does that was me. Variegated and now has reverted back. But I don't know what the other green... There's two bushes, it looks like, in front of the window. Looks like in the front of the yard. And they're shaped into, like, squares. Mm-hmm. And so the one on the left is totally green. It almost looks like boxwood from here. But the one on the right is also green, and it has some spotty areas of variegated leaves, it looks like. So the plant on the right would have been variegated when they planted it, and then it reverted back to being green because that's just sometimes what they do. I would move, so because these have been pruned back for who knows how long and shaped into these squares, I would go into the center of the plant there, and I would start moving some branches away and see how far into the plant there's greenery. When plants get pretty old and you cut too far back into old wood or into branches that don't have any leaves on them, then they don't come back. You've basically killed them. Something like Escalonia, I mean, that beautiful green shrubbery pink flowered plant, you can cut that to the ground, that thing comes back with a vengeance. But euonymus, I don't know. Do you know, Frederick, how if you cut back euonymus way too far? Yeah. I wouldn't go too far back. I wouldn't go into the old wood just because it might not come back. But what they could do on the back side of the plant facing the window, do an experiment.
Oh.
If you cut it back now, the plant's going to stay like that until springtime, and then it'll start to grow. But with this plant, it basically looks like the wrong plant in the wrong place because you have to keep cutting it back to have that view from your window. So if you want to keep the plant, cut back the back part of the plant that's against the house now. You can do it now. See what it does. See how much of it comes back in the springtime. And if it does come back from the older wood, start sending out new leaves and whatnot, then you can go ahead and cut it back in the springtime. And then it'll grow faster in the springtime than it will. You won't be looking at a lot of brown stems in the spring as you would now. And then if it doesn't come back, then, you know, don't cut it back because it's just not going to come back, rejuvenate, and then maybe just pull them out and plant something a little smaller where you don't have to do any pruning to it.
Okay. If you need more information, call us, Sandy, at 636-1350. From Petaluma, Susan has a question for us. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. My question is about a fig tree that originally was a grafted dwarf, and the graft died maybe 8 years ago, and I had planted it in a place where it was underwater quite a bit in the winter, so it was really suffering. So I got frustrated. I yanked it up. I threw it over the fence, and then I went, ugh. So I went and I grabbed some of the roots, and I planted it next to my house so it would be protected from the vicious Petaluma winds that I live with and also the fog. Well, it's doing very well, but it's right next to my house. So what I have is suckers from the original root stock. And, you know, they grow all over the ground. They produce lovely figs, but I need to cut it back. And I'm wondering, I mean, considering how awful I've been to this plant and how lovely it's been back to me, how hard can I keep cutting this back so that it will continue to live?
Is it a black skin fig or a green skin?
Black.
Black, okay.
It was called a Black Jack, the dwarf. Oh. So I think it was on, I can't remember now the name of the figs. But it's one of those common figs, black figs.
Okay. Maybe
like
black
brown
mission?
Turkey or something?
Brown turkey.
Okay, uh-huh. Brown turkey. Okay, well, the black skin figs really don't like to be pruned because then you don't get a lot of figs the following year, as you would with the green skin figs. You can prune them any time. But I have seen people prune the black skin figs, and it depends on our weather in the summer. The warmer it is and the longer it stays hot, then you have a good chance of getting some figs on that black skin fig that you prune back too hard. So I would do some selective pruning. Just look at the branches that have to come out and cut them out all the way back to as far as you can go. And then maybe can you train somehow the other remaining branches, maybe get some stakes or something and tie it to a stake so it'll grow in a particular direction that you wanted to grow in?
I've done that with a few of them. So the ones that are crawling around on the ground and in the path, just cut right off.
Cut them off. Cut them off.
They're the ones actually that give me more.
Oh, they're the ones that are the most fruitful, huh? Okay, leave them. I would leave them. I wouldn't cut anything that gave me fruit. Leave them alone.
I don't have a path. My path is gone.
Oh. Make another path. Do some selective pruning. Maybe leave a few of those branches. If you can, somehow get a stake and move the branch, tie it somewhere so it'll grow more espaliered along the walkway. Instead of growing out towards the walkway, it's growing along the walkway. You know, kind of like bend them. You can bend it and then just bend those branches so they're growing sideways along the walkway. And anything that you're going to cut all the way back to the ground will probably come back again, too.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I mean, when I have, as I say, I mean, I cut this thing back to nubs and threw it over the fence.
Yeah, pruning invigorates. And so that fig likes it there, and so it will keep growing. It's like, you think you're going to get rid of me? No, I'm just going to grow even more. So get some even decorative stakes of some sort and or fencing or something and, you know, have it grow more as an espalier plant. So the branches that are growing in the walkway, you're going to redirect them. The ones that you can't redirect, okay, then you'll have to cut those back. And but save as many of those fruiting branches as you can. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I love it when it makes those lovely little brown blobs.
Yeah. So, like I said, minimum pruning, redirect, and, you know, even in the summertime, if you know, the branches are starting to come back or really get in the way, maybe after it's fruiting, you could cut back a branch then. But, you know, I would do minimal pruning and selective pruning.
There's your answer, Susan.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck with that one.
We'll be back after this.
I'm Clark Wolf. Listen to At the Table with Clark Wolf, Saturdays, noon to 1, right here on KSRO.
50 years ago, John Promzini was farming hay in Marin and Sonoma counties, and like every ambitious young man, started to look for a winter project. He was up in the mountains on a fishing trip with his parents when he was inspired by the beautiful fir trees surrounding them. So began the Promzini Christmas Tree Farms, serving Marin and Sonoma County for the past 50 years. The Promzini Christmas Tree Farm is truly a family business, and the whole family works very hard to keep up with the technology and new products like beautiful handmade accessories. Check out their locations from Marin to Sonoma County and make it a special family outing. Choose from their 6 varieties of the best quality fir trees available at any of their locations. Things have changed since 1963, but the one thing that has never and will never change at Promzini Christmas Tree Farm is their commitment to the quality of their trees and the service to their customers. Find the location near you. Go to PromziniTrees.com. PromziniTrees.com.
Attention, Northern California wine country wildfire victims. If you or your family has suffered injury or death, damage to your property or to a commercial business as a result of the fires, you may have a claim for damages from PG&E. For information, call our special legal helpline now at 800-722-FIRE. That's 800-722-FIRE. Call now. The state's Public Utilities Commission has launched an investigation into whether PG&E's maintenance of its equipment in Sonoma and Napa County may have played a role in these deadly fires, including whether it adequately cut back trees from power lines to reduce the known risk of fire. Reports show that PG&E has a long history of being found responsible for major wildfires because of inadequate maintenance of its power lines. How do you protect your rights and fight for the compensation you deserve? You choose the right legal team that has the experience, support staff, and resources to get you the most compensation for your damages. Call our special legal helpline now at 800-722-FIRE. That's 800-722-FIRE for a free case review.
Thank you, Sonoma County, for supporting the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market during this difficult time. Our hearts go out to all those affected. We all need a little comfort now, and for our Thanksgiving feast, enjoy selections of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, including beef, chicken, and pork. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
The 2017-18 season is underway at Weill Hall at Sonoma State University's Green Music Center. Once again, this season offers a great variety of entertainment. Friday, December 1st, it's Late Night with Leonard Bernstein, a multimedia event celebrating his centennial year. You'll get a glimpse into the personal side of this iconic figure, hosted by his daughter, Jamie.
This was Lenny the Communicator.
On Sunday, December 10th at 3 p.m., the Philharmonic Baroque Orchestra and Chorale perform Handel's Messiah, with Nicholas McGuigan conducting. Then Saturday, December 16th, it's a vivacious Celtic Christmas from Cherish the Ladies, one of the top Celtic groups in the world. It's an evening of captivating arrangements and stunning step dancing. An evening at Weill Hall at Sonoma State University's Green Music Center offers an experience you'll never forget. For tickets and more info, visit gmc.sonoma.edu.
Oh, fast couple hours on Garden Talk this Saturday morning, and a lot of it's because Frédéric Lavapierre, the garden director, education director for the Santa Barbara Botanic Garden, has sat in with us this morning. So October is always traditionally Native Plant Month in California. Talk about native plants a little bit, if you will.
Okay. So, well, my disclaimer is I work at an exclusively native plant botanic garden in Santa Barbara. You should come visit. And I have grown to really appreciate native plants more than I did, although I used to grow them. And I will tell you, I'm not a purist. I'm a gardener. I do grow other things, but what I see happening after a fire like this is people are suddenly afraid to plant native plants. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, the fact is that if they're in your garden and you're irrigating them even once a month or so, then you have enough moisture in the foliage that it isn't going to burn the way it does in wildlands. And, native plants are what makes California special. Mm-hmm. We are a biodiversity hotspot in California, and one third of our native plants grow nowhere else on this planet. And that is an enormous proportion. Even in Texas, they have only a few things really that are endemic or grow nowhere else. And 36% of our over 6,000 kinds of native plants are endangered or threatened.
Wow.
So plant natives in your gardens. Mm-hmm. Don't scatter seed along the roadside. That's my native plant message. I live in a biodiversity hotspot within a biodiversity hotspot. Santa Barbara is, you should come visit the garden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've went through a lot with your fires there.
Yes.
Back in 2009.
Yes.
And probably learned a lot in your rebuilding. So we should probably be looking to other areas of California to see what you did, even though obviously our topography and landscape is different.
Right.
We can probably learn a lot of lessons from what you discovered.
Right. And some of the species of plants are different. But yeah, I think Southern California has a lot to share. You know, we have the climate is changing. And hi, Sonoma County. Welcome to Southern California. I mean, it's a new era.
We got an email asking you to repeat the UC website about home survival. And it's called Home Survival in Wildfire Prone Areas. Is that,
yes,
I believe, what you told
yes.
us?
Yes. And then it was, you know, there was a colon and it was like design and in.
Building and design.
Building and design considerations or something like that.
And is that on the UC Master Gardener website or where
I don't know, but that would be a good place for it. I just know it's a UC, I think it was ANR.
Agricultural Natural Resources.
We want to
on their website.
Yeah.
I have not seen that, but that sounds like a real good resource.
Yeah, but I got good information, and the Chaparral Institute as well has some really good information, especially about misconceptions.
And there's a lot of good information on your Santa Barbara website too?
Yes, and we actually have a nice brochure with plants that are recommended for Santa Barbara. A lot of them are going to be fine here too. And there are some beautiful perennials that you could grow here.
So remember, this is Frederick's opinion, and she's saying just don't willy-nilly resist the urge to just scatter seed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Don't go buying pounds and pounds of seed just because you feel that's going to improve the soil's erosion control.
And you can create more of a problem than prevent one.
Right.
So
with invasives. And, you know, this is where CNPS, the California Native Plant Society, also their website has got some recommendations. And, you know, we have a local chapter, Milo Baker, that actually hosting a fire ecologist next week at their meeting. So that should be a big packed
That's
meeting.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And also we learned about defensive space versus home hardening, which was really good also. And then the fire safe plant lists are very contradictory. Don't just use this as your Bible, saying what says this is fire safe, this is fire prone. Not necessarily so. As you pointed out, some of these plants appear on both lists.
Yes,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've seen, California buckwheat, I've seen it on both lists. And I think that that's where the confusion comes, because are we watering it?
Mm-hmm.
And if we water it, it's fine. And
just like all the drought-tolerant landscaping.
Right.
Look at all those plants that people planted.
Yeah.
They didn't water them. They're dry.
Right.
And those were the first ones to burn in the fire, where the people that did water occasionally those drought-tolerant plants, made it.
Right. Sometimes, too, you have those green ground covers, mm-hmm. and they've got a big thatch underneath them. And mm-hmm. so it looks green and like it's not going to burn, but it will burn. You know, ice plant is like that. Mm-hmm. It'll make a big thatch. And so the fire just moves right under.
Good point.
We will continue the conversation next week. And when you're back up from Santa Barbara, you know that we have the open door policy here at Garden Talk. We'll just prop it open with a wastebasket and you just come in anytime you want into the studio.
I will be back more frequently in the next couple of months. And thank you so much for having me.
Well, also, all of our learning curve, every week, every month, we're learning more and more about how to garden smarter and, of course, limit the chances of another conflagration, whatever we can do. If this is going to be the cycle, we need to be better prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it sounds like everybody's doing just that.
Yeah.
John Ash in the KS Arto Kitchen follows the news. Thanks, Gwen. We'll see you next week. DeFazio will be next week. Yeah. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You
then.
Too, Steve.
Okay. 636-1350 if you want to talk John Ash and turkey, that coming up following the news. This